case of the day, U.S. versus Mohammed, 13-2368. Ms. Varner.
Good
morning. And let your opposing counsel get situated first.
Sure.
All right, you can begin.
Good morning. May it please the court. This case arose on June 6, 2012, when after lawfully purchasing and paying taxes on cigarettes in Kentucky, Mr. Mohammed drove into Indiana. After a lawful traffic stop in Speedway, Indiana, Mr. Mohammed was found to be in possession of 23,400 cigarettes. Based on that possession of cigarettes, the government charged Mr. Mohammed with a federal violation of the Contraband Cigarette Trafficking Act. The CCTA punishes knowing possession of contraband cigarettes. It also defines the term contraband. Contraband cigarettes are defined as a number over 10,000 cigarettes which bear no evidence of payment of applicable state taxes if that state requires that evidence of taxes being paid appears on the cigarettes. The CCTA incorporates Indiana state law, and this case turns on Indiana state law. The question before this court today is, could any rational trier of fact have found the elements in this case to be proven? And the answer to that question is no. At the time that Mr. Mohammed was stopped in Indiana, Indiana state taxes were not applicable on the cigarettes he had in his possession. The Indiana statute contains plain language. Section 6-7-1-1 states specifically that if the intent and purpose in Indiana to levy a tax on all cigarettes sold, used, consumed, handled, or distributed within the state of Indiana, and to collect that tax from the person who first engages in one of those activities. Mr. Mohammed had no opportunity to engage in any of those activities after he entered the state of Indiana. What the evidence in this case did show was that on June 6, 2012, Mr. Mohammed was driving a Dodge Caravan at 6:57 p.m., that he ran a red light, that within his vehicle were 117 cartons of cigarettes with Kentucky state stamps appearing on them. The evidence showed that Mr. Mohammed drove those cigarettes from Kentucky to Indiana, but that's all. The evidence does not show that taxes were currently due on those cigarettes when he was stopped. The parties submitted and agreed to a joint instruction before the district court. The jury was instructed both on the meaning of contraband cigarettes, which came directly from the CCTA. The jury was also instructed on Indiana state law. And the jury was instructed that under Indiana law, taxes are levied on all cigarettes sold, used, consumed, handled, or distributed within the state of Indiana.
And Ms. Varner, are you arguing that the instruction should have included an intent element, that the government had to prove that Mr. Mohammed intended to sell, use, consume, handle, or distribute the cigarettes in Indiana?
No. We don't believe that the instruction was incorrect. We just believe that the way that the jury was instructed, Indiana law requires payment of tax upon one of these events occurring, and that at the time Mr. Mohammed simply entered into the state of Indiana in possession of those cigarettes, none of those events had occurred. Therefore, the tax was not yet applicable on those cigarettes when he drove into the state, and it was not a violation of the CCTA.
No evidence that he performed any of the triggering acts
under the
state statute. Is that correct?
That's correct. The only evidence is that he drove his vehicle from, after paying taxes on those cigarettes in Kentucky, that he drove his vehicle into Indiana in possession of those cigarettes.
For all we know, he was headed to Pittsburgh.
Exactly. And in fact, it was the government's theory at trial that those cigarettes were intended for sale in New York or New Jersey. The government never entered any evidence at trial that there was any intent by Mr. Muhammad, if intent were required, to sell those cigarettes in Indiana.
I know that issue came up at sentencing, but did that issue come up at trial? Did the government actually either argue or put in evidence that he intended to sell these in New Jersey or New York?
They did not, but it was strongly indicated by their cross of Agent Nye, which I believe happened on page 25 of the trial transcript.
How so? How was it indicated during their cross?
On cross-examination by defense counsel pointed out that if Mr. Muhammad had planned to sell these cigarettes within the state of Indiana, he stood to gain about $400 based on the differences between the Kentucky state tax and the Indiana state tax. And on redirect, the government pointed out that it is often that he would have stood to gain significantly more money had those cigarettes been sold in a jurisdiction with an even higher tax. And Your Honor is correct that at sentencing, it was shown that that is the direction that the government was headed with their case. They believed and had evidence that those cigarettes were intended for sale in New York or New Jersey, and that's actually the loss amount that Mr. Muhammad was held responsible for. So the CCTA requires a violation of Indiana state law. The CCTA, the intent of Congress in drafting the CCTA was to provide federal support for enforcement of state cigarette taxes, would provide a way for the federal government to take over in those cases where there were an extraordinary number of cigarettes possessed. The government agreed to an instruction that correctly indicated Indiana state law, that Indiana state law required an act by Mr. Muhammad when those cigarettes came into the state. Mr. Muhammad did not sell those cigarettes. That's clear from the record. Mr. Muhammad did not use or consume those cigarettes within the language of instruction number 10. He did not put those cigarettes into action. All cigarettes were accounted for, as was stated by Agent Nye. There was no evidence that he used or possessed for use those cigarettes. The theory of the government was that he intended to resell those cigarettes. Nor did Mr. Muhammad handle or distribute those cigarettes within these definitions. To handle would be to engage in selling, buying, or distributing. And distribute, again, redundantly, would just be to distribute those cigarettes. He did none of those actions. Finally, it's clear that both the CCTA and Indiana state law recognized that there would be situations where cigarettes would come into a state and taxes would not be applicable. It would not be a violation of the CCTA, and it would not be a violation of Indiana state law.
But those are specific exceptions that are enumerated in the statute, correct?
Correct. And as we pointed out in our reply brief, the specific section in Indiana Code was 671-19.5, which requires a person who would come into the state in possession of cigarettes would carry an invoice with them. So it is clear that Mr. Muhammad did not have the correct invoice with him. But Indiana state law does not say that at that point the person who enters carrying cigarettes without the appropriate invoice then owes taxes on that cigarette.
What does the state law require with respect to the invoice?
The state law requires if you enter Indiana in possession of cigarettes, I have the statute here, requires that a person who transports cigarettes which do not bear an Indiana tax stamp over Indiana highways shall carry invoices or delivery tickets which contain a set of information. This provision of the statute does not say that taxes would be due on those cigarettes. It simply indicates that it would be a misdemeanor to enter the state without having the appropriate paperwork. Taxes would not yet be applicable.
Was there any evidence submitted at trial on the merits of the case that your client did not have the appropriate invoices? Was that ever established at trial?
It was never a question.
No evidence was submitted.
Neither party
whether he had it or not.
Correct.
As far as we know, we don't know.
Correct. So it's clear that there would be situations, both under the CCTA and Indiana state law, where taxes would not yet be applicable.
Are you familiar with the Seventh Circuit's opinion in U.S. versus Skozin, a 2005 opinion that addressed a similar issue with respect to Illinois cigarette laws, not Indiana?
Yes, Your Honor.
The Seventh Circuit in that case, and it was, again, 2005, held that the defendant's intent to sell the cigarettes outside of Illinois was irrelevant because the defendant didn't fit into any of the exceptions. Is there a difference between the Indiana law and the Illinois law?
Yes, Your Honor.
And what is that?
Okay. First, I'd like to just point out that factually distinguishable in Skozin, those cigarettes were completely unstamped. It was a semi-truck trailer full of cigarettes that bore no stamp. In this case, this is not the classic case. This is a situation where the cigarettes did bear a stamp, a Kentucky state stamp. Now, in that case, Mr. Skozin was arguing that he's not, the way that the Illinois state law is drafted, the tax is due for, I think it lists like distributors or retailers of cigarettes, and he argued, hey, I'm not a distributor, I'm not subject to this tax. Now, the difference is that the Indiana code is clear. Indiana requires tax, not on a specific person, but on a specific event that occurs. And that event is selling, using, consuming, handling, or distributing within the state of Indiana. Also, in my review of the Illinois state code, I did not see a provision in there that would, similar to Indiana state provision 6-7-1-19.5, transporting without the invoice, that would provide for a situation where you might be in possession of cigarettes and traveling across the highways, but not yet have tax applicable to you. So I don't think that the Skozin case is applicable in Mr. Muhammad's case.
All right.
I see my time expired.
Yes.
Thank
All
you,
right.
Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Klein. Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Zachary Myers, Assistant United States Attorney here on behalf of the government, and I was trial counsel below. Before I move to my presentation, I wanted to address the Court's question. In fact, the parties entered into a stipulation that Mr. Muhammad did not meet any of the exceptions under the Indiana statute that would have allowed him to possess cigarettes that didn't have Indiana stamps in Indiana over the amount prescribed by Indiana and federal law. So there is evidence of that in the trial that was introduced. I don't have the stipulation.
The exceptions being?
The exceptions being, to paraphrase, being a government officer, a law enforcement official, being a cigarette manufacturer transporting cigarettes that your company manufactured, being a common carrier with an invoice or bill of lading similar to the issue in Skozin. I think that all of those exceptions go to, and the issue here goes to, how the interstate transportation of cigarettes regulations work in the United States of America. The issue raised by Mr. Muhammad, I think, is actually indistinguishable from the issue raised in Skozin, and I also think it's indistinguishable from the issue raised by the defendant in United States versus Boggs, which was cited on reply by the defense. But, of course, Mr. Muhammad in reply cited the dissent in Boggs. But the majority in Boggs held, and in Boggs, it was a bench trial with stipulated facts where the defendant purchased a large number of cigarettes in North Carolina, which was a low-tax jurisdiction, and was arrested in West Virginia carrying this number of cigarettes, over 10,000. And and the agreed facts of trial was that his intent was to sell these cigarettes in Michigan, and therefore West Virginia tax was not applicable. And it was the exact same legal argument here, and that the argument was rejected in Boggs and should be rejected by this court. In Boggs, the majority said, and it's at 775 F. 2nd, 585, Congress has chosen to regulate cigarette bootlegging traffic by regulating the very interstate commerce which the states may not, by providing in its definition of contraband for the state's own tax laws. And what the court's explaining in Boggs, and what I attempted, I think inarticulately perhaps, to explain to the jury at trial, is that, but the jury did in fact convict Mr. Muhammad, is that the way Indiana's cigarette taxation scheme works, there are certain, as the court pointed out in Skozin, there are certain individuals who, by virtue of the job they're engaged in, are allowed to possess an amount of cigarettes that don't bear Indiana tax stamps within the state of Indiana and not be in violation of the law. And those are individuals who are holding them in those categories. But in Mr. Muhammad's case, he was in fact, and I also would take issue with the appellant's argument, or excuse me, Mr. Muhammad's argument that the cigarette trafficking statute is not violated until the commission of certain acts. The statute says, and the jury instructions say, that cigarettes are levied on cigarettes sold, used, consumed, handled, and distributed. I think through other contraband cases, this court well knows that distribution is a continuing offense, and that when Mr. Muhammad was pulled over and asked how much money he makes selling these cigarettes, he said not much. He had a bag full of $15,000 in cash in the car with him. The car that was filled with 23,400 Newport cigarettes individually, and there was trial testimony that Newports are one of the most trafficked brands of cigarettes. And
was there evidence that Newports are one of the most trafficked brands?
Yes. Special Agent Dan Nye testified that the two most trafficked brands, illegally trafficked brands of cigarettes in the United States are Marlboros and Newports. And with that evidence and with the sheer number of cigarettes, and although it wasn't instructed to the jury, it's important to note for deciding this case on Indiana law that under Indiana law, it is prima facie evidence that cigarettes are possessed for the purpose of distribution if an individual possesses more than 1,500 individual cigarettes that don't bear Indiana tax stamps while they're in the state of Indiana. The point of having the first person, the point of tax stamps and the whole tax stamp regulatory system that the federal law enables the states to implement is that the first person who brings the cigarettes into the state, into commerce in that state, purchases the stamp, pays the taxes, and then we know that that the applicable tax has been paid, and no one else in that chain of commerce has to worry about paying those taxes again. That's why the exceptions make sense. That's why the people who don't have to pay the tax are the people who aren't engaging in that commerce in Indiana. They're just delivering them to Indiana. And without this regulation being applicable to people who are passing through a state who aren't engaged in those narrow exceptions, then a cigarette trafficker who's an admitted bootlegger of cigarettes could say, sorry, you have to follow me all the way to wherever my endpoint is, wait until I sell the cigarettes, and then maybe you can prosecute me. And that's simply not the law, and the defendant cites no cases supporting that narrow view of the law. I think that the court should follow the logic and the decisions set forth in Skozin, set forth in Boggs, and in the absence of any Indiana case law, you know, taking this narrow view that cigarette taxes aren't due, that an individual is not in violation of Indiana's cigarette tax laws until after they've completed the distribution offense, in the absence of law saying that, because I don't think that would make sense under the regulatory scheme that Congress has enacted and that the states have enacted, I don't think that this court should overturn the jury's verdict. You know, as the court well knows, the standard of review in this case is that the jury must have no evidence that under which a rational jury could find that the elements have been met. And this court has said, you know, recently that the defendants in these cases bear a nearly insurmountable burden. Under these facts, Mr. Muhammad has not overcome that nearly insurmountable burden, and I believe the jury's verdict should stand. The district court's decision to deny the motion for a new trial should be affirmed, and unless the court has any questions, I'll take
Where am I going to find the statute which says it has the exceptions listed, police officer, et cetera, et cetera?
If the court will give me just a moment. I believe, Your Honor, that that's going to be in Indiana Code 67112. But if it's not in that section, it will be in one of the nearby sections. I'm sorry, I don't have that note in front of me. Nothing further. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. I think your time is up. So the case will be taken under advisement, and we'll call the final case of the day, U.S. versus Clark.